This is Shine On, the Health and Happiness Show, with new episodes every week on how to live well. Shine On is heard all over the world as a podcast, but it's heard first on the radio in New York's Hudson Valley.
Hi, it's Casey. Thank you so much for tuning in to Shine On. I'm so excited about this topic today. We're going to be talking about something you probably have in your home, something that has a great backstory and maybe some magical properties. We're talking about decks of cards. Alexander and Vicky are here. They have a special deck of cards called Source Cards. Find out more at thesourcecards.com. Guys, first, welcome.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you so much. I'm super excited to be here.
If I didn't believe you, which I now believe you, I would think you made up your backstories. Harvard, Wall Street, modeling. I mean, come on. But looking at you and feeling your vibe, I know it's all true. And here you are helping us to live better and feel better and know ourselves better. Let's just jump right into it with you, Alexander. How did you go from Harvard to Wall Street to Source Cards?
It was a long journey, so I'll keep it brief, but it started with an unexpected spiritual awakening when I was 17. I grew up Roman Catholic and was fairly agnostic, but had a surprising awakening when I was 17, and that spurred me on a spiritual journey. I didn't know it at the time, but it led me through evangelical Christianity for a little while. And meanwhile, I had gotten into Harvard and studied philosophy at Harvard, and then worked afterwards as a consultant on Wall Street and then as a director of marketing for a software company. So I had the whole corporate stint. But meanwhile, alongside that corporate path was my ongoing spiritual journey. I started experimenting with recreational psychedelic drugs. Then I went to India and, you know, kind of did the cliched thing. I was chasing a girl, my ex-girlfriend in India, stayed at the Osho Center in Pune, was meditating all day there. I took initiation as a Swami, came back to New York. I did ayahuasca ceremonies. I apprenticed to shamans. I started a holistic health center. I did all these things, looking, searching, finding ways to heal my body. I suffered terribly from autoimmune, Crohn's disease, and psoriasis. So I found a way to naturally heal my body through cleansing, but still searching from age 17, looking for answers, and read every esoteric book and system I could find. And then at a party in Brooklyn one day, someone casually introduced me to the real meaning of the deck of 52 playing cards, and it just stopped me in my tracks. I had a deja vu moment and the air got thick around me. I found out I was born to play the Nine of Hearts, and my whole life made sense just from understanding the simple patterning of the Nine of Hearts. And there's very little written about, at that time anyway, very little written about the real meaning of the playing cards. And I was at a crossroads in my life anyway. I started researching, studying, and eventually wrote my own book on the real meaning of the playing cards called Play Your Cards Right, A Sacred Guide to Life on Earth, and started a professional coaching practice. My family thought I was crazy. Like, what? This is what you're going to do? I'm like, yes, Mom, this is what I'm going to do. This is my job. I'm going to teach people how to play their cards right. And it was a rocky road. It really was. And I had two kids to support from my first marriage. And it was a big step of faith to believe that I could make a living from this work. Fortunately, I met Vicky 12 years ago, and with her partnership, it's been possible. And we officially joined together. She was an energy healer when we met. And just in the last few years, we've officially joined together to bring forth this ancient wisdom that was hidden in plain sight.
Wow. We're talking to Alexander and Vicky. We're talking about Source Cards and thesourcecards.com. So many things popping through my head right now. First is, I remember being like 7 years old at a party, and somebody taught me how to play solitaire, like family members at a family party, and they wanted me out of the way. And they gave me a deck of cards. And I just remember thinking, where did this come from? Like, who made this up? And what do these cards mean? And what do these suits mean? And they're like, nothing, it's a game. And I always felt like, it doesn't feel like a game. That's one. Two is, what did Wall Street need with a philosopher from Harvard? I don't get that.
Well, back in those days, and maybe still now, companies would come to recruit at Harvard, and they didn't care what you majored in. They just wanted the best and the brightest, so to speak.
Right.
And they would hire you without any background or training and then train you on the job.
Got it. Wonderful. And now finally, you have the best and the brightest in Vicky. And Vicky, we're going to get to you in a minute. I got to ask, because I've always wanted to have a spiritual awakening. Just tell us or give us a clue, a window into what happened when you were 17.
Sure. So I was on a retreat that my Catholic high school offered for seniors. And it was a chance. This was in South Florida, where I grew up in Fort Lauderdale. It was a chance to get out of school for 3 days and be at this kind of monastery that was right on the beach, run by a kindly old nun who let kids do whatever they wanted, basically. So I was like, yeah, sign me up. I'll go on this. On the last night of the retreat, a priest came to talk to us about walls around our hearts. And it was very moving, powerful talk. And then afterwards, I wanted to go and sit with him and talk to him in what would be termed face-to-face confession. It's the first time I'd ever actually wanted to see a priest, having grown up in the Roman Catholic rigmarole and dogma. It was so boring, and worse than boring, in all the Catholic guilt, etc. So it was the first time I ever actually wanted to see a priest. I sat across from him, and I don't remember what I said to him at this point, but I had been the product of a divorce and had a lot of emotional trauma as a boy, which you would expect from someone playing the Nine of Hearts as their life path, to feel things to the nines. That's the meaning of the Nine of Hearts. So I was sitting across from him and saying whatever I said to him. I don't remember at this point. Afterwards, he stood up to pray for me. He put his hands on my forehead. And when he touched his fingers to my forehead, something went whoosh right through my body, like electricity, like water, in a split second flash from head to toe. And I really and truly felt washed clean after that. And I suddenly understood, oh, there's something real behind all the dogma and rigmarole and BS. And that experience, as I mentioned, catalyzed me on a journey to find out what the heck was that? What's that all about? That was the spiritual awakening.
So, we just jumped on this recording without getting to know each other very well, but I feel now would be a good time to tell you that I run a Catholic retreat house.
Ah, okay. There you go.
No, it's so crazy. But I came home on my lunch hour to record this with you from the Holy Mountain Franciscan Retreat Center, which is run by Franciscan Friars and Sisters of the Atonement. Yeah, crazy, right?
Well, and to add a little postscript, I've always felt that what that priest was able to offer me, that's what I want to do for other people. And I feel like I'm a priest in the world with no religion. I didn't tell you also, because I had a long backstory, that I went to seminary and studied Roman Catholic theology, and I thought I would become a priest at some point. But as I said, now I feel like I'm a priest in the world with no religion.
Got it. All right, you're going to have to come visit us on the Holy Mountain, because they would welcome you. We're interreligious and ecumenical. And the other day, there was a knock on the door, and four Buddhist monks in orange robes came in to see the friars, their best buddies. So anyway, I'd love to see you guys there. So Vicky, tell us a little bit about your path. You are so beautiful. So when you said, I didn't believe him when he said Harvard, but I believed you when you said Ma. So how did your experiences, or did your experiences in that world lead you to seek a different world?
Yes. Mm-hmm. It really started mid to late 20s. When I was in my mid to late 20s, I didn't get my period for 6 years. And I went to a bunch of different doctors, and nobody could figure out what was going on with me. And then I went to see an energy healer, and I can't remember if it was the next day or the day after that I got my period. So I just was like, wow, what is this? So I went down, it just really catapulted me into energy healing. What is it? Who are we? What is my purpose? What is God? And then in the modeling, when I traveled as a model, I feel like I was finding my way with my spirituality as a model traveling all over the world. So it kind of happened together with that. And I just, went into this space of like wanting to know as much as I could about myself, like exploring myself, letting go of my negative beliefs about myself and life. And I just really, I went to all different kinds of healers, even just to learn about it and experience it, And then I went to Barbara Bredin School of Healing, and I studied theta healing and weekend healing workshops and all kinds of things like that to really find myself, explore, expand, be all of me. And then when I met Alexander, we met at a cafe and he came up to me and started chatting with me. And he asked me my date of birth and he proceeded to tell me all about myself in 20 minutes based on my date of birth about my source cards. And I was pretty shocked. It's like, it's kind of like, wow. I mean, you just told me all about myself in 20 minutes and I just spent all these years. We joke about it. I just spent all these years diving into myself and you're telling me these things from this template, this blueprint of these source cards all about me, the good and the bad. He even was tossing out things about like not good stuff about myself. And I was like, yes, that is accurate. Yes, that is true. You know, so
not necessarily the way to pick up a leaf. I was nervous, but
yeah. So that's amazing. And I know people are nodding in agreement, people who are traveling on the path. And then suddenly somebody says something to you. I remember once an astrologer said it to me because I was trying all the things and doing all the things. And an astrologer said, well, looked at my chart and said, well, you've had to parent yourself from a very early age. And I like fell backwards. Like, well, that just sums it up, right? Like all the things that just sums it up. And she could tell that from looking at my stars. So how long did it take until you guys became a couple after that cafe meeting?
We met for lunch a week later, and it was a lunch date, and we ended up talking all afternoon and then having dinner together. We just kept talking. We had so much to talk about.
Yeah, I can see that. You know, you're both seekers, and you come into this place together, and now you're sharing all of your skills and talents, and that makes everybody happy. All right, we got to know now, what's the connection between the source cards, you know, the deck of 52 and us?
Well, I was thinking we could do a real life example. What's your birthday?
March 11th.
Would you like a quick taste?
Sure, hit me.
March 11th, you're born to play the Queen of Diamonds, and you have a personality card of the Queen of Spades, so double queens.
Dang. I'm going to raise my bet with a pair of queens.
Yeah, you're holding pocket queens if we want to use the poker reference.
Is this a good thing or a bad thing?
No card is good or bad. They are patterns. And these patterns all come out of the tree of life and the flower of life. They're as ancient as any informational system that we know, because the flower of life symbol is the oldest known religious symbol anywhere in the world. And these patterns all come out of that.
Is that Kabbalah, the tree of life?
Similar. Yes, that is one of the strands of that information. If you study the Tree of Life, you'll learn that the Tree of Life is actually older than Kabbalah.
Okay.
It predates Kabbalah even, but Kabbalah uses it. And people who study Kabbalah will tell you that Kabbalah is just the knowledge of life. It's not any religion. Right. It also predates Judaism. So this information, it's based on patterns, and it comes out of the flower of life. The queen is the pattern of the number 12, which is process of perfect unfolding. So you're here to nurture the process of the perfect unfolding of what matters most to you. So you have free will. We all have free will. You choose how you want to play your cards, literally. And based on your choices, you have different outcomes, positively or negatively, in your life. The queen energy can be very perfectionistic and impatient and demanding. So if you're being impatient or perfectionistic or demanding, then you'll get different outcomes.
Right.
Or if you're seeing the perfection of what is in the moment, perfect blossoming, the perfect flower unfolding in this moment, then you can nurture that moment and be in the moment to nurture and advocate for what matters most right now in this moment. And that's how you fulfill your role. You nurture what matters most.
I just need to lie down on the floor for a minute. Yeah, I love that. I love that. That's so cool. And it's so true. When I can be the gentle version, yeah, you know, the good stuff is there, but I can be so demanding too. All right. So when we go to thesourcecards.com, can we play along, on our own?
Yes, we've set up a whole widget where you put in your birthday and you would look up your cards. You find the first two cards in your life path of 13 plus cards. So you would, for example, put in your birthday and you could find out you're born to play the Queen of Diamonds with a Queen of Spades personality. And then you can start reading and learning and diving in. We have a lot of free resources on the website.
Is it unusual to have two queens or two nines, or is it common?
It's unusual. It's not usually the case that it's a double set of the same number. But again, it's not better or worse.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the most, well, one of the most common questions is which ones are better or worse. And sometimes I meet people and we do the same thing we just did, and they find out they're born to play a two or a three. And they're like, oh man, I wanted to be a king or a queen. I say, be careful what you wish for, because for you, the crown weighs heavy and that burden of responsibility could really weigh on you. Most of my clients have actually, in my private coaching practice, have actually been kings or queens, because that mantle of responsibility can weigh so heavy on you, it can feel more like a burden. So it's like, be careful what you wish for. There's pros and cons either way. But you have this mantle of responsibility as the queen to lead by your own example.
Does everybody hear that? I'm the queen. Everybody hear that? I tell people all the time, they should recognize this. Okay.
The problem is that you're trying to get them to do something. That's the demanding part.
Right.
You lead by your own example and you have a ripple effect of energy. You are being the change that you wish to see in the world, like Gandhi's dictum. That's how you play your queen well. You show people that you are the queen.
Yeah. So thank you. And you have just described the last 5 years of my nonprofit. I started a little nonprofit and I started it by like, we're going to do this way. And that didn't work. But I had to keep playing that card for 5 years until I realized, oh, maybe not 5 years. Halfway point, I realized, oh, I can't get them to do it my way.
Yes.
Let me just show. Let me just be.
Lead by example.
Let me just be the thing.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Well, you intuitively figured it out. And I see that often with people on the path, as you mentioned. You can intuitively figure it out, but there's a trial and error period. And this is what I love about these cards. We can clarify it, and then you don't have to go through necessarily that trial and error period of 5 years. We can shorten that and show you exactly what your best strategy is.
Do you think we keep, here comes a crazy question. Do you think we keep reincarnating until we've played out the whole deck?
Could be. I can't say I know the answer to that, but it's possible.
But I do believe that we choose the cards that we're playing. We absolutely say, I want to play those cards, you know, by choosing our birthday. We're choosing to play out those energy patterns that are in that life path of cards.
Okay.
And in the life path of cards, they show absolutely everything. They show life lessons, each person's shadow, the unconscious hidden fears, the way we think and communicate, which is different from somebody else's cards to play. And I think that's really a main thing about this is like, we all have, you know, we have different cards to play from somebody else. And we obviously can have the same cards as someone else, and play them differently. But it's, you know, what's so profound to me about this system of knowledge is that, you know, even like in raising kids, it's like a lot of times kids are playing their parents' cards and the parents are trying to put their cards onto, you know, their kids.
Mm-hmm.
Kids are playing completely different cards, you know, so it's about playing our own cards right.
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 Can we play them well? You know, this hand that we've been dealt.
Right.
That's what we do now in our work is we support people to master their game, to play their cards right. And everybody has different cards to play, although it can, of course, be some overlap. And so you can't have a one-size-fits-all self-help strategy or a one-size-fits-all religious spiritual strategy either, because the advice for you is different than the advice for me or for Vicky, because we have different cards to play.
Right. Things popping into my head the other day. My cousin was talking about her daughter, and she said, I just don't know where she gets it from. Now we're
Yeah, up her cards.
Different cards. And the other thing is, for anybody who's pregnant and your baby's overdue, you just hang on, because that baby is choosing their birthday on their cards, right?
Exactly. Yep.
100%.
Why?
Cesarean section, that's also a choice that's in harmony with the soul's choice of what day to come in.
Briefly, this is so fascinating, and I love it. And thesourcecards.com is where we go for more information. Are there any jokers in your deck?
December 31st is the day of the joker. So anyone born on December 31st is playing that role. And it's a fascinating role of being both in and outside of time. And if you meet anyone who is born to play a Joker, you'll notice right away that they're a little bit different.
Mm-hmm. Vicky, can I ask what your cards are?
I am playing Five of Diamonds, Queen of Spades.
And Alexander?
Nine of Hearts, Seven of Clubs are the two primary ones. And then we all have a whole life path of cards, as Vicky alluded to earlier.
And we're going to find more when we go to your website. I'm going to need you to write a book. Could you?
I did write a book.
Okay. Oh, yeah, you did. Play Your Cards Right.
Play Your Cards Right, A Sacred Guide to Life on Earth.
Okay, I got to get that. All right. Thank you, guys. I think we need to wrap it up, but I want to ask this one question. If people were to ask you, where did this information come from? What do we say?
My best guess is that it comes from an advanced extraterrestrial race that gifted it to us early on to help us in our evolution. It's an advanced species, so advanced that they figured out how to map the quantum field of energy, like the vibrating strings of reality, like in string theory, and map that and render it in a simple conceptual symbolic framework so that we have a conceptual idea of the energy matrix inside of which we live and move and have our being. But then it was persecuted. Biblical monotheism threw everything else out the window. And this deck of cards was called the Devil's Bible in the Middle Ages.
Yeah. So not surprised. I always knew there was a backstory to these cards. They're so not random.
That it comes from an advanced civilization.
Okay, cool. I'll take it. My friends, we have to wrap it up. I have enjoyed this so much. I have a feeling I will see you again one day. Maybe you'll come up to the Hudson Valley and do a workshop or something with us.
Just love that.
I like to wrap up with a thought for the day and a quote, but I don't have one. Do you guys have a special favorite quote?
Our message is to live your life like it's your favorite game to play.
I love that. Thank you. Ciao, Nan.
Thank you.